But I really did come to have church. The Word of God says that where two or more gathered in the midst, there He'll be right in the middle of them. And I believe that God is here. I believe that God wants to speak. And you know, there's some messages that that I just really connect with, and this is going to be one of them. Now, is it okay with everyone if I just... Anybody have a piece of candy in here? Or actually, you know what? Let me use this apple. I'm going to use this apple. I like to give people a demonstration. This apple is caramel. It was dipped in caramel, and then it was dipped in peanuts. So it's coated with two things, caramel and peanuts. I would like to preach the Word of God this morning without any coating on it. Amen? I don't want to sugarcoat it. I don't want to gloss it over, but I just want to minister from a raw place this morning because I believe that this message will help people if I give it out to you in that certain way, okay? So if you get offended at anything I say, I want you to just understand that that offense is probably conviction working and moving in your life, trying to make a correction inside of there. Go with me now to, you know what, I'm just going to kind of open up in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you for your word. God, I will not insult you by asking you to bless your word because, God, it's already blessed. But right now, I take authority over every hindrance on this service in the name of Jesus. God, I ask that you would bless each person here, but God, open up their understanding. Lord, let the word fall on ground that's ready to receive. Receive it right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray right now over the folks that are watching on Facebook Live. God, I ask that you would heal every broken part of their life. God, for the people in the congregation, Lord, right now I loose peace and I loose healing in this place right now in the name of Jesus. God, for the people that they've been dealing with depression, I speak to that depression right now and I bind it up and I loose, God, the peace of God that passes all understanding right now in the name of Jesus. God, for the person and you just feel like you don't even know how you're going to handle what you're going through, I speak to that person's mental health right now, and I say that it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the Spirit of God. And so, Lord, right now, I loose the Spirit of God in this place. God, not just to sit around and have tea with us, but God, to live inside of us, to dwell inside of us, to move inside of us, God, and most importantly, to change us, God, in Jesus' name, amen. I want to, the title of the message, and I don't always title everything, but the title of my message this morning is When People Aren't What You Expected. When people aren't what you expected. If you are a note taker, like my sister Casey, get your pen out. Casey's so cute. Casey's been my hero since I was just a little girl. She's 5 years older than me, and she is the person I just look up to her so much, but she's a note taker. And if that's you, I'm going to give you a lot of stuff in here this morning. You're going to want to take notes. I hope that you brought the Word of God with you because I could sit up here and I could read it to you all day long. But until you get in there and you read it for yourself, see, when you begin to read the Word will begin to read you. When you get into the Word will get into you. The Word of God is living and it's active. It is never dormant inside of you. Amen. So, when people aren't what you expected, and I found that as a common thread in my own life for pretty much my whole life. You know, I've grown up in the ministry, and many times the ministry sees people at their worst, and sometimes when people are at their worst, they do things that they would not normally do. But the ministry is not just the only people that experience issues with people. You know, we have our expectations of people, but that's simply what they are, expectations. Expectations. And you have got to manage your expectations, or your expectations will manage you. You got to manage what you think another person should be like, how they should act, how they should whatever. Because if you don't, just simply what you think people should do, they're going to rule over you. You're going to come up disappointed time and time again because in your mind, people were supposed to do a certain thing, and when they don't or they can't live up to what you expected them to do, then you're disappointed, then you're brokenhearted, then you're upset, then you're broken. And you know what? God wants the believer to manage their expectations. And one of the things that the believer is not very good at is many, many times I have found my own self saying, well, I would have never done that. Now, you cannot expect you out of people. Amen. Now, this is going to be a raw message, but we're going to get right down to it. We ain't having corn, and we ain't having mashed potatoes. Today, we're going to have steak, and we're going to get our steak knife out, and we're going to begin to cut that thing. How many of you like a good steak? Amen. That's what we're going to have today. But the first point that I want to make is your expectations, they have to be managed, because if they're not managed, they're going to manage you. Your feelings, you cannot be a person that is managed by your feelings, because your feelings will get you in trouble. You've got to run your life according to the Word of God, because if you don't, your life and your feelings are going to manage you and they're going to rule over you. I like to consider myself someone that is very relevant and that is very with the times, and I don't like to be an old fogey, but there is a very big part of me that is extremely old school, because when it's not broken, you don't need to break it. Amen? And one of the problems that this generation is having, people younger than me, some even my generation, is we have gotten so out of touch with the Word of God that we are calling right wrong and wrong right. And we believers are doing this also. People that are sitting in the pew, they are calling right wrong and wrong right. And they'll say, well, you know, we should act in love, and we should, you know what, look here, I'm never about hating anybody, but let me tell you something. You've got to compare your belief system with the Word of God. And when your beliefs do not line up with the Word of God, your life won't line up with the Word of God. I could believe it's going to rain $100 bills till the day is long, but I've never seen that happen. Amen? Got to manage some expectations, and I urge you to take a look at what you're believing in. Take a look at what you believe in. Recently, I told somebody, I said, you need to go back to your house. You need to sit in your recliner, and you need to open up the Word of God, and you need to read it for yourself, not with the spirit of religion, but the Spirit of God that has the ability to divide what the Bible is actually saying. Now, that's not a part of the message. That's just extra. We've got to manage our expectations, or our expectations are going to manage us. How do we manage our expectations? Two ways. We manage our expectations through prayer, number one, and through discernment, number two. How do we manage our expectations? Through prayer and through discernment. When you pray, God can show you whether or not your expectations of another person are on point. When you pray to God, God can show you whether or not your expectations of another person are on point or not. How many of you have made the mistake where you expected something out of someone, and when they came up short, you got irritated with them, but then when there was a little bit of time that got to go in between you and the disappointment, you thought, I don't know why I ever expected that from them. They weren't even capable of that. Right. Amen? I remember in the beginning of the food ministry, now y'all don't get offended, okay? I have to sit here and double think about everything I say, and I shouldn't have to do that, because it makes your mind that's full of the anointing sit there and double think what you're supposed to say. But there was two guys, and in my mind, I thought that they could manage the traffic because they were men. Now, y'all men do not get all willy-wonky on me, okay? Don't you get your feelings hurt. But I thought because they were men that they could manage the traffic. They could not. Okay? This was before Jim came. Now, Jim is awesome with the traffic. But I said, hey, you guys, why don't you manage this traffic for me for the Wednesday stuff? And let me tell you something. I have never been more anxious in my life as watching these two guys nearly have cars just hit each other just constantly. And I thought, God, if you will get me through today with these two people that I thought could manage traffic just because they're guys, Lord, I will never let them be in charge of that again. And I realized I was going to have to manage my expectations of what I expected of people. That was one of the times where I realized I was going to have to pray and say, God, who can direct traffic? Who can do this? You know, sometimes we're expecting something out of someone and they are never going to be able to do what you're expecting them to do. Never. And that's not boo on them. That's just, it's just reality. And so stop expecting you out of everyone. Stop expecting you out of everyone. Stop expecting you out of everyone, because see, everybody don't conduct their business the way that you do. I was telling my dad yesterday, I said, Dad, I just need you to pray for me because I'm having trouble being who I'm supposed to be. And the problem is that what a normal person would do is a normal person would stoop to that level and give them exactly what they deserve. But I have resisted that type of behavior. And I have committed myself to being like God would be in this situation. But I need God to move. And I said, not just on this person. I need God to do a work inside of me. Because it's taken everything I've got not to just slap them. Praise God. We're going to be honest today. How many of you get the urge to just slap somebody? You're like, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with the whole world? Why are y'all arguing about this? Why are you being ugly? I'll tell you why people's being ugly, because they don't have to see people face to face anymore, because nobody has the guts to say anything to anybody's face anymore. And that's a problem. But we have to compare our expectations with reality. When people are not what you expected, you've got to compare your expectations with reality. If I tell Coco, Coco, I'm going to leave the Oreos right here. Don't touch them. That's a dumb expectation on my part. There ain't no way that kid's capable of not touching those. Or Frank. I'm kidding. He got some ice cream the other night. How many of y'all like ice cream at night? There's just something about having it at night that's super soothing. I mean, oh. He got up in there, and it was Häagen-Dazs, coconut, and pineapple. You know, I'm trying to lose some weight because I put on like 20 pounds. And I tried to button some pants this morning that didn't fit. That got me agitated. How many of you got yourself agitated this morning? I don't know if I even needed help from the devil, but I was agitated, okay? And not being able to button the pants was one of the agitations. Now I'm wearing elastic pants, which is not terrible, but, you know, I'd like to be able to button my pants. So I thought, well, I'm not going to have any ice cream. So Frank got over there, and I just snuggled up to him and ate most of his ice cream. And I was like, I don't think that this really helped me any. I got to manage that because it's managing me right now. But we got to compare our expectations to reality. I remember in the pandemic when a lot of people in ministry were leaving the ministry because it just got too hard. You know, a hireling will do that. A hireling will leave when everything's going wrong. I'm going to get us right down to the nuts and bolts. A true pastor would do it for nothing, but God would not allow that. And they did a study on clergy right around the time of the pandemic. And they said, you know, what people expect from pastors is so out of touch and it's so unrealistic that pastors feel the stress and the agony and the depression because they never can live up to what people feel like they should be. And one of the things that they pointed out is they asked several hundred people, how many hours a week do you think the pastor should work? And they should work 10 hours in this area. They should. And once they added up what the average person really thought that a pastor should do, there was more hours than was actually even in the whole week. When I first started pastoring, I tried to do everything. I didn't turn anything down. And isn't that right, Phyllis? I was just working and moving. And I found, and I still do, but I've learned to manage to say no. Because the devil would love to get me and you exhausted by never saying no. You've got to manage your expectations. We do that through prayer and through discernment. When you've realize that you're having trouble because you're expecting something out of someone and they're not living up to what you expected, you need to begin to pray, God, do I have unrealistic expectations of this person? Am I expecting something from them that they can't even possibly physically do? Go with me to Philippians chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 9 and 10. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. Depth of insight. I'm going to read that one more time. I hope you guys are all reading along. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more. See, the love of God should be in your heart and it should abound more and more. Okay? In knowledge and depth of insight. Depth of insight. If you will have a regular prayer life, not when something is going wrong and that's the only time you talk to God. See, that's not a regular prayer life. That's not a faithful prayer life. You need to be praying every day. The Word tells us to pray about everything. But God will give you insight. He'll give you an inside look that the average person won't have. And that only comes through prayer and allowing love to reign up in your heart. So that you may be able to discern what is best. To discern what is best. The problem with the believer is when people are not what we expect, we go to everybody else instead of going to God in prayer about that situation. And so what ends up happening is we're disappointed, we're irritated, we're bitter. But see, the Word of God, it tells us that it will give us depth of insight, and it will help us to be able to discern what is best. What is best? You're going to have what's God's best, or you're going to have mediocrity, and you have to make that decision. I told Brother Sam the other day, you know, I believe that every person needs a personal kind of board of directors in their salvation that's going to help them. people that can speak into your life and they can tell you the truth, even if it's going to make you mad. Two of those people, my husband, of course, is one, but Dad has been my pastor for 39 years. And Brother Sam has been in my life since I was a little girl. And on my very worst day, I got behind the pulpit and I had one of them on each side. And so I've been dealing with something and I called both of them. And I said, Brother Sam, the devil is trying to work a foothold up in my life. And the truth of the matter is I cannot afford to hate this person's guts. Because the devil, that's what he's wanting me to do. But I cannot spiritually, for the sake of everything, I cannot afford to let this unforgiveness and irritation and offense take a root in my life. So I need you, because I said, Brother Sam, I'm in the wrong. Not because this person is perfect, because they're awful. God knows it. I know it. We all know it. But God, I'm not being real great either, because I'm hating their guts. And you've called me not to do that. You know, God has never called you to hate somebody. Now, the devil will give you every reason why it's okay. But it ain't okay. And when you fit, how many of you have ever felt yourself hating somebody? Just, oh my God, I cannot stand that person. We're going to have to be able to just keep it real. Because if not, we're going to all smile. We're going to all act like we're fine. We're going to go out there and we're not going to do nothing for God. But if we can all be up in here and we can keep it real, we're going to do something. I said, Brother Sam, I don't even want you to pray for the other person. I want you to pray that this is going to come off of me. See, you need to be able to discern what is best. And what's always best is when you are at your best. When you are at your best. Do not allow people, when they are being what you never, when they've done what you've never thought that they were capable of, when they've hurt you more than you ever thought possible, when they've stabbed you in the back, when they've let you down, when they've talked about you, when they've mistreated you. See, don't let what other people do affect how you are. We shouldn't even let it change our mood. But we do. Amen. How many of you, a lot of your bad moods is because of another person? Praise God. Yeah, we're going to keep it real. We got to take authority over that and say, you know what? That person is God's problem. So we need to be able to discern what is best. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. What does God want from you? He wants you to be pure. He wants your heart to be pure. He wants your intentions to be pure. He wants your emotions to be pure. No matter what everybody else is doing, no matter what everybody else is saying, it really doesn't matter. At the end of the day, what matters is you. And how are you? And what is the condition of your heart? When people have done the unthinkable to you, when they've done stuff that you didn't expect, how are you? How are you doing? Now, Dwayne, do me a favor. Get me one of these short little columns. Because I'm going to pull out some things that we do, and I'm going to try to get it to where we stop doing them. Yep. Now, what happens with people is we all have pedestals. I put on my big girl pants today, literally. Pastor Kelly's been enjoying too much ice cream at night. with the Netflix, okay? I'm going to get a hold of that problem. But what we do, when it really gets down to it, when people have done what we never could have expected them to do, and we're broken, and we're disappointed, and we're angry, and we're discouraged, many times, if you will look in your heart of hearts, you have put them on a pedestal that they don't belong on. I'm going to say that one more time. You have put them on a pedestal that they don't belong on. And that is why you are coming up hurt. That is why you are coming up irritated and discouraged and emotional and angry and bitter. Yeah, they did something that you never thought possible. But you know what? How many of you have ever done something yourself and you couldn't believe you did it? That's exactly right. Why is that? Because the Word of God says that we have all of us, sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But there's something about when people do it to us, we just can't take it. We just can't take it. My son was at a soccer game yesterday. Carson is a very aggressive player, more than he should be. More than he should be. And I've told him, and I've told him, and I've told him, that's unnecessary. Now, I'm at the point in my parenting where I realize he's 13 years old, I will blink and he'll be a man, and I want a certain kind of man out of him. Well, he got to playing. This is a little co-ed soccer thing, okay? Go with me here. They're little girls playing on this soccer team. Now, Carson has always been a tiny, petite boy. I don't know where he came from. He's just a tiny little person, okay? And he got out there, Dad, and them girls were roughing him up. This whole year, man, he would slide into the girls, knock them down, not even ask them if they were okay. Look here, I'm not happy with it. But here's what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to baby that up inside of him. I've told him it's not okay, but I can't physically go out on that field and change his behavior right in that moment. But what God can do is allow him to get exactly what he's been given. And I'm fine with that. Girls, rough him up. Because you know what he needs to learn, Cecilia? When you really tick a woman off, you're going to get it.
That's right.
Isn't that right, Jeff? How many of you men know that? There's nights where you got to sleep with one eye open because you have ticked her off. He needs to learn that before he has to go through a divorce or anything else that's the most gut-wrenching thing a person could go through. So I wasn't mama bearing it yesterday. I was saying, God, allow him to be corrected. Well, by the end of the soccer game, he was crying. I didn't say, poor Johnny. I said, suck it up. Suck it up, Carson, because see, you've been given this all soccer season to all of them little girls, and they finally got tired of you, and it just for some reason took them a long time to get tired of your business. But see, now you're getting what you were given. Now, I love my kids, but they are not on a pedestal as far as my life. Now, Frank may disagree, but he ain't God and he don't see my heart. You can't put people on a pedestal because at some point they're going to fall off of it. Why? Because they're human. I call it pedestal syndrome, and it is our idealization of another human. How many of you have looked up to somebody so much and the first flaw that they had, it just shocked you and you couldn't believe it and it just was disappointing to you? When people aren't what you expect, they're not going to be. Nobody can be God to you but God. Nobody. Nobody can be God to you but God. Don't put people on a pedestal. Put God on the pedestal. Put God where he belongs. See, a human being does not belong on the pedestal of your heart. I love Frank. Frank loves me. I don't love Frank more than I love God. I'm sorry, but I don't. And he is not responsible for my happiness. Take your notes. Because at the end of the day, here's the thing. Frank can do everything perfect. And if I'm just in an agitated mood because of somebody else, there ain't nothing he can do that's going to be right. Right? When people aren't what you expected, go with me to Psalms 118 and verse 8. I want to tell you this morning that you can trust God. Put him on that pedestal of your life. Psalm 118 and verse 8. See, when the Word of God tells you certain words, you should pay attention to them. Psalm 118, verse 8, and it says this, It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in a man. It's better to take refuge in God than to put all your ducks in a human being. Because I'm going to tell you something. Just like we have let people down, people are going to let us down. They're going to do some things that you didn't expect. And when they do, it is not the end of the world. And you shouldn't hate their guts because they did it. I'm not telling you you got to be best buddies with them after that, but what I'm telling you is that you can't hate them. Why? Because, see, then you've got a blockage in your prayer life. Because the Word of God says that when you stand praying, if you have aught against anybody, that you better forgive. So your Father in heaven can forgive you. So that he can. So it's better to take refuge in God than to trust a person. People fail you, God never fails. People will let you down, God is not going to let you down. People are going to do things that's going to hurt you. You know, I've had people hurt me, and all I've ever been to them was good. And that stings a lot. I walked in the church this past week, and I was telling God just how sick of something I was. And we just had a conversation. You know, there's times where you just need to have a conversation with God. And I just said, God, I am sick of you allowing this person to keep on doing this. How many of you ever get to that point? God gave me a nugget. Kelly, look around. And I began to look around the church. He said, what do you want to start going wrong because you won't just give this to me? Out of all the blessings, out of all the provision, out of all the favor, out of all of the amazing things that I've done through this ministry and through you, which one of them do you want me to just take my hand off because you won't get over this? Well, God, you know what they're doing. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. but he also knows how you're handling it on the inside. It don't matter the fake facade that you're putting on the outside. That doesn't matter, because what matters most is the condition of your heart. If you're in a battle and your heart is ugly and you're saying, oh, it's fine, I'm just going to blah, 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 it's okay. No, you need to call up the people that you know is going to speak correction in your life and say, I need prayer because I ain't handling this good because I hate this person's guts in this moment. You need to be able to man up or woman up and say, I need some prayer because I'm the one that's in the wrong. See, a part of how to deal with people when they do stuff to you that's unexpected, a very big portion of that, it's on you, not them. Because if you could have controlled them, you would have never let them do what they did to you. But you can't control them, because the truth be told, we can barely control ourselves. If I could just stop eating the ice cream, Angel, I would. But as long as it's in the house, I can't. And who keeps bringing it home? That one's all Frank, okay? He's just trying to make me happy, but now he's off the hook. Because I done said from the pulpit he wasn't responsible for my happiness. And that ice cream at the end of the day is going to make me irritated when I can't. I had some lime green pants that I was going to wear with this, okay? And I could not get them buttoned. Not even when I lied down, okay? And then I was like, well, I mean, I could suck it in, but then I'm going to be feeling constricted all day, and that really puts me in a bad mood. Okay. Don't put somebody on a pedestal. Don't put them on a pedestal. I can think back in the time that I've been the most brokenhearted. It was when I had allowed somebody to be where only God should be. Where only he should be. See, there's a place inside of you, whether or not you're even a believer or not, there's a place inside of every person that belongs to God and God alone. And when we allow people to be in his spot, that's the place where you can have the most pain, the most bitterness, the most anger, the most feeling of betrayal, because see, God is a jealous God. He will not have any other gods before him. Don't let anything or anybody be in the place where only God should be. Do not put someone on a pedestal and set them and yourself up for failure and be mad at them when they can't live up to what you expected out of them. They're not going to be you. They're not going to conduct themselves the way that you would. Let God on the pedestal. You be the best you that you can be, because God is going to take care of what's going wrong in your life with that person. Now, the next thing that I'm going to hit on, that was the pedestal syndrome. And we all do that. Here's another thing that I'm going to want to point out about the pedestal syndrome. And I've had this happen to me. We've all had somebody, and we put them on a pedestal, and they let us down. And now it's like, we don't want to ever get close to another person again. We've also, I found myself through this whole thing, Billy, saying, you know, God, there's a couple people in my life that I just love a lot. And I have let them down because they put me on the pedestal and I didn't belong there. God, help me to make that right. Don't put people on a pedestal. They don't belong there. And understand this, sometimes people have put you on a pedestal. Maybe they don't even talk to you anymore. Maybe they've distanced themselves from you and you think, will it ever be the way that it was? How many of you got something like that going on in your life and you're thinking, will it ever be the same? Will they ever forgive me? Will they ever move past that? Begin to pray that God would give you an opportunity to make it right. To make it right. One of the ways that God will give you an opportunity to make that right is when you make it right for someone else. There's people, Jeff, not very many. About two. I pray about them all the time. God help them to forgive me. And then God brings up the people to me that I'm not forgiven. Kelly, you really want them to forgive you? You really want them to accept you? You work on forgiving these people over here. See, everything is tied together. I have a lot of real conversations with God, and I don't hold anything back. I've had a lot of conversating this week because I feel like I have just had it. And I've just told God how much I've had it. God, I've had it. I mean, you feel that rising up in you sometimes. You're like, I have just had it. I might do something even if it ain't good because I've had it. Well, I've learned not to do those things. I was telling God, Lord, all I ever was to so-and-so was good to them. And he brought me to Judas. Go with me to Mark chapter 14. We're going to look at verses 41 through 46. When people weren't what we expected. I think one of the most painful things in a human's life is when they have a Judas in their life. When you have a Judas in your life and you've loved someone, maybe it's a friend situation, maybe it was a boss, maybe it was a spouse, maybe it was one of your kids, maybe it was something, and then to just have them turn on you, that's one of the most painful things I think a person can really go through in life. And we see how Jesus handled it. And, you know, the thing about Jesus and Judas was that Jesus knew from the beginning, before he even picked Judas, he knew that that's exactly what he was going to do. He knew it. He still picked him. He still let him sit at the table for the Last Supper. He still let him come along. He allowed that, even knowing what he was. And sometimes we are so mad because somebody's done us wrong. They've betrayed us. They've been a Judas to us. Let's see how Jesus handled it. Mark chapter 14, verse 41. Returning the third time, he said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. He didn't dodge Judas. He knew exactly what Judas was fixing to do to him. He didn't dodge him. He didn't circle the Walmart parking lot and make sure he wasn't there. He didn't bash him on Facebook. He didn't kick him out of the disciple club. He knew none of that. He said, well, here comes the person that I love that's going to betray me. Let's go. I got something to do. Let's go. And he went forward. He went forward. He knew Judas was going to do that. He knew before Judas was going to do it. He said, here's my betrayer's fixing to be here. Let's go. Let's go. And then it says, just as he was speaking, Judas was one of the 12 that appeared with him. Was a crowd armed with swords and clubs sent from the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard. Verse 45, going at once to Jesus, Judas said, Rabbi, and kissed him. The men seized Jesus and arrested him. A lot of times we can't get over what somebody did. We didn't expect them to do us that way. Maybe they were with you for a long time. Maybe they were your friend for a long time. Maybe they were in your church for a long time. Maybe they were your boss for a long time. Maybe you were married to them for a long time. And something happened and you didn't even know that they were even capable of doing that to you. And you're hurting. And the reason you're hurting was because you let someone in and there was a closeness there. Now, have you ever had that happen to you? I'm going to say this one more time. How many of you have ever had that happen to you and yet you've had trouble? How many of you can say that you're over it? I'm going to keep it real. I'm still working that out. I'm still working that out. One of the things, and I've never thought of this until this week, and I was just calling out to God, and I was just telling, Lord, I don't want to be like this. I don't want to feel like this. I don't want to have this up inside of me. God, you're going to have to correct me. God, at this point, it's not even the other person. God, it's me. I'm asking you to correct me. See, does God have the right to come in and correct you? Or are you just the person that just wants, bless me, bless me, bless me? And if you correct me through anything else, I ain't having it, God. No, see, God needs to be able to correct you. So you can make it to heaven. Go with me to Matthew chapter 27. Many, many times when you've been through something and you're upset because somebody done something to you unexpected, when they acted in a way that you never thought they could do, and then it just seems like they get to go on with their life and be happy and you're still miserable because you're still hurting. We need to begin to ask God, Lord, help us see through your eyes. Because there's times where you are bitter as heck because you feel like, and feelings aren't facts, but you feel like somebody has gotten away with something and they did something to you and they just get to go on and be happy and have their life. And you get to be miserable because they've done something to you. And you're hurting, and then you got all the stuff. Let me tell you something. Stop looking at what you think that you're seeing. Because ain't nothing what it actually looks like. Nothing is what it actually looks like. I don't even like to see people's family pictures anymore. You know why? Because I've lived long enough to know they probably threatened those kids, probably had to whoop them, probably had to get in a fight with their husband over wearing that shirt that he hates. Probably all number of family drama done happened just to get that one picture so you can look like you got a happy family. When really the truth is, ain't none of you happy in the family or have it together. I love those moms, and they're like, they work 40 hours a week, and they're at all the kids' stuff, and everything is perfect in their house and all this stuff, and they'll take a picture of something in their house, their Christmas tree, and you're thinking, how the heck does she do that? Well, here's the truth behind the camera. She got all her laundry and all her filth and all her dirt, and she squished it over to the corner just so she could show y'all how pretty the Christmas tree was, okay? So stop looking at other people and what you think that they got, because they don't got what you think. So you need to learn to be happy with yourself. And most people cannot stand themselves. I got one amen. I said most people can't stand themselves. Okay, we're going to keep this real. And then when somebody does something to you that you didn't expect, you can stand yourself less and less because you're thinking, I want to be a good Christian, but at the same time, I want to choke them. And I know that ain't right. God, what do you do with a person like me? I don't know, but you know what? Here's what God knows. I will keep it real with him. God, I'm just being a mess right now, and I'm going to keep doing it. Lord, please correct me. Matthew chapter 27. We're going to look at verses 1 through 10. We're going to do a follow-up on how this worked for Judas. Because a lot of times we're thinking somebody just got to go on and be happy with their life after they done something to you. And that makes you mad. How many of it makes you mad when somebody hurts you real bad and now they look like they get to go on and have a great life? I'm glad we can keep it real. We may help somebody today, Jill, just because the pastor will agree we want to choke people at times. I'm not afraid to tell you that. Matthew chapter 27, verse 1. Early in the morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people came to the decision to put Jesus to death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 silver coins to the chief priests and the elders. He was seized with remorse. He regretted what he did. I'm going to tell you, child of God, right now, there are some people, you're mad as heck at them because they did something to you, and they are remorseful that they did it. They may not act like it, but in their heart of hearts, they regret it. And the devil is working on your mind and making you feel like they're just all happy. They ain't happy. They regret it. Stop thinking that you know what they think because you don't. He was seized with remorse. What does that mean? That remorse took a hold of him and he deeply regretted what he did to the point that he took the coins that he took, the bribe, and he wanted to give it back to them, and he did. And he returned the 30 silver coins to the chief priests and the elders. I have sinned, he said, for I have betrayed innocent blood. What is that to us? They replied. That's your responsibility. So Judas threw the money into the temple and he left. And then he went away and hanged himself. I'm going to stop right there. If somebody betrayed Jesus, who was only over good. At times, somebody is going to hurt you. They're going to betray you, and you cannot lose your business over that. They're going to talk about you. They're going to criticize you. They're going to judge you. Let them do it. Let them do it. Why? Because the word of God says, "Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay." Somebody's been asking God, "God, why are you letting them do this to me?" God's not letting them do anything. Nobody gets away with anything. One more step. We won't get away with anything either. When people have done the unthinkable to you, let them do it and go on. God will deal with them. God will deal with them. You don't have to deal with them. God will. What do I want to point out in this? I want to point out, and I want to, this is a hard thing for me to have to try to make you do, but I'm going to ask you to entertain it for a moment. I never really was compassionate towards Judas until last night. But here's what I see. I see a human being, and he made a mistake, and he betrayed Jesus Christ. But Angel, when he did it, he was remorseful and he regretted it. To the point that he could not live with himself after he did it. What am I trying to tell you? There are people in here. There are people on Facebook. You need to open up your heart and you need to release the people that you're holding those grudges against and the unforgiveness against, because I'm going to tell you something. They're having a hard time living with themselves and what they did to you. It may not look like it. They may not act like it. But when they go to bed at night, it's what's on their mind. When they wake up in the morning, it's what's on their mind. Have compassion for the people that have hurt you. Why? Because that's what God truly, truly requires. Last place for me this morning, Matthew chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 43 through 48. "You have heard that it was said, 'Love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I tell you to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, then what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Here's what I'm going to ask you to do right now. We're fixing to take communion. I'm going to ask you to do one of two things. Either make an altar where you're at, get on your knees, or just bow your head. See, the word tells us that we need to take communion, but we need to take it in a certain way. There's a certain way that we should take it. You need to examine your heart and examine your life. And I urge you that if there's someone stuck in there and they've just done something to you, I'm going to ask you to get on your knees and pray your best prayer and ask God to help you to forgive them and let them up out of there, because that's holding you back.